This is number 5 in our Sophiad series, Wisdom Texts at the Jacamar Door, and you're listening to Sorka Berry, your editor and reader. This week we have for you an extract from Meccan Revelations by Ibn al-Arabi, written around 1238. This is called The Presence of Praise. Thou art the praiseworthy, a name passive to our praising and also active. Therefore art thou truly praise-deserving, and one who praises. Hence, when we give to him obeisance, he is the one present for us. The heart his place of presence, without quality and quantity, and no comparison, as he cannot be circumscribed by any definition. But truly I worship him through myself, not through him, for God deserves worship, and I, by God, do worship him. Truly I know him. If I to him make comparison, I do so loosed or bound, in accordance with law and reason. The adherent of this presence of praise is called the servant of the praiseworthy. Now, the latter name of God embraces the sense of the active noun or the adjective in its conventional indication, as well as the passive noun or adjective. For he is both the one who praises and the one praised, to whom all of the ultimate ends of commendation return. Muhammad, that is he who is highly praised, may God bless and keep him, has in his hand the banner of praise. For to Adam, upon whom be peace, belongs the knowledge of the names, and to Muhammad, may God bless and keep him, the knowledge of commendation through them and the pronouncement of the praiseworthy station. Because of his attainment of the praiseworthy station, at the resurrection Muhammad will be given action in accordance with knowledge that not being granted to any other than him in that place. For Muhammad has lordship. Thus Adam proclaimed, "Everyone but him is beneath my banner, and Muhammad has no banner but the one of praise, that being the returning of all the ultimate ends of commendation to God, as in his saying, praise belongs to God and to no other. For in the whole world there is positively no expression that does not give some evidence of commendation. I mean a fair commendation, although the source to which it is attributed is only God. For it must be that the commender commend either God or else another than God. But if he praises God, he praises one who is preeminently deserving of praise, while if he praises another than God, then he only praises him for those praiseworthy characteristics which are in him, such characteristics simply being those which God has freely bestowed upon him, and in the possession of which he brought him into existence, either in his inherent nature or in his cultivated character. In either case, these characteristics will be acquired by him, and in any event, they are from God. The real is a mine of every good and beautiful thing. Hence, the ultimate issue of the commendation of a created thing for those praiseworthy qualities reverts to one who originated them, that being God. For there is none truly praiseworthy except God. And there is no expression having any blameworthy aspect, except it have also one which is praiseworthy. Insofar as it is praiseworthy, it reverts to God. But inasmuch as it is blameworthy, of no valuation of it can be made, because the foundation of blameworthiness is non-existent, so that it fails to meet with anything related to it, and hence it disappears, leaving only praise for him to whom it belongs. Thus, to the specific expression, no aspect will remain except that of praise after the unveiling of truth, the aspect of blameworthiness vanishing. That is, it becomes manifest regarding it that there is no abiding aspect of blameworthiness. On the very day that I was recording the present chapter on the presence of praise in this book, I was informed by our companion, Saif al-Din, the son of the late Ayyubid prince Aziz, may God have mercy upon him, that he saw the governor of the province beating a man severely. He, Saif al-Din, was standing among a group of people, and in his mind he was expressing contempt for the governor because of his beating that person, such that he became abstracted from himself. And he beheld the governor in a vision, perceiving his likeness as a person in the crowd, looking upon the man being beaten, just as the crowd was seeing him. And in the vision, the commissioner of the beating was not the governor. Then, lo and behold, the governor actually forgave the man in reality, and comforting him, he went on his way. I had thought the occasion of this story was that the governor had treated the man wrongfully in a matter of law. So I advised Saif al-Din, bring him before the Sultan. But he said to me, the governor is of no account. Then he told me what he had seen, and thus was the matter in regard to himself, Saif al-Din. For this is a person who had, in the state of veiling from the truth, attributed injustice to the governor. But when God removed the obstruction from his sight, the existence of that quality in the governor ceased to be as injustice in his view, and it arose as his forgiveness of the oppressor. His evaluation turned to praise, and the commendation of goodness, and the courtyard of him who had been censured became free of blame. So the ultimate ends of commendation return to God. To him be glory and greatness. Do you not see him who says, O people, you are all in need of God, and truly he is in need of a blameworthy and a praiseworthy, coming under all of that which is called by the name of God? Then he declared, and God is the one who is free of all want, the one who does not have any need, the praiseworthy, that is, he to whom all of the ultimate ends of commendation from the praiser and the one praised return. If he be blameworthy in a certain relation, he is praiseworthy in a more potent relation, having validity concerning him. The praise be to God will fill the scales, because everything that is in the scales is the commendation of God and praise for God. Nothing fills the scales except for praise of God. Glorification is praise, and so too are the pronouncements that there is no God but God, that God is the greatest, and that he is all-glorious, all-powerful, most worthy of honour, and most venerable. And all such superlative perfections are praise. Thus, the praise be to God is the most general expression, than which there is no more general. And everything that might be mentioned is but a part of it, like a man's bodily members, while praise is like the man in his entirety. And now thus is praise made clear to you, that blame be not availed to you, and the secret has appeared to you by silence unconcealed. The presence of praise comprises three modes as to completeness and perfection. One of these modes is the most complete, and that is the praise of the praising one himself. This mode carries a certain degree of likelihood, but that perfection above mentioned does not accrue to it, since it is dependent on the context of the existential condition of the person reciting the scripture, and upon a knowledge which the praising one has sanctioned concerning the praise with which he has praised himself. And, in truth, one who gives a description might describe himself in terms which are not really in accordance with him. The same is true when another than he praises him. The second mode of praise also carries only a certain degree of likelihood until that mere potentiality is opened up to reveal the whole truth, for it falls short of the highest degree of clarity and realization. The third mode of praise is the praise of praise itself. Of the forms of praise, there is none more true than this mode. For indeed, it is the essence of the execution of the attribute of praise, as there is nothing truly praised, himself nor one praised by another. If the essence of the attribute is the essence of the other attributing, and the essence of the one attributed to, then the praise is the essence of the one who praises, and the one who is praised. And these are none other than God, for he is the essence of his praise, regardless of whether that praise is referred to him or to another. There is naught but God, so praise and speak with no deception, and do not think of praise as an existence or creation, but contemplate praise of the real in every expression. Truly, in every act of praise to him is elevation. Whoever attains this knowledge attains a high position provided by his Lord, the confirmed accommodation. So hasten to this station with the zeal of resolution, with the angelic noble races unto his laudation. It must be that in his creation thy Lord make partition. One must be most pious and another a great villain. The knowledge came in Scripture's text, a written composition. One night most holy, contemplate that true articulation. For truly, the book of God gives lucid expression to that which the compassionate set down in his creation. And plain knowledge was clarified for him of comprehension. Whether you will go down or rise up to salvation. Praise be to God, the giver of benefits, the bestower of favours, and praise be to God in every situation, for he acts both generally and particularly. God ever speaks the truth, and he guides on the way.